Okay, shalom everybody. We are continuing. We just started the Sha'ar HaSimcha, happiness. It's a nice positive midah. You don't have to look for different ways of translating it, or more politically correct ways of translating it. And we saw last time that we mentioned that Chassidut, the Baal Shem Tov's Chassidim, they built a whole Ikaron around happiness, and it's a very big topic in Judaism, as we're going to see. But that being said, what we saw last time was some of the problematic aspects of laughter. And now we're going to continue with that. Yeshod simcha uschok ra me'od. Not only is this a bad type of laughter, but it is a very bad type of laughter. Kagon misha mesachek b'misha zahir b'avodat Hashem yidbarach v'amekayim mitzvotav. There are some people that laugh at those who observe the mitzvot, those who are meticulous. Now, in a crowd like this, I'm sure everybody respects people who are meticulous on mitzvot. Nevertheless, sometimes if we are looking for a practical example, I imagine you've heard people put down the Haredim for this thing or the other. And I actually remember that was the things that I noticed when I was on Hakshara, that the kids, and this Rav Kook writes about it, that it's whenever you talk about an ideology, you should always talk about the positive aspect of the ideology. There's no need to put down others. And I noticed that on kibbutz, they used to have this general name for yeshivaniks, putting down people who learn in yeshiva. Now, just to understand, between kibbutz Yavne and yeshiva Keren B'Yavne, there was sort of a rivalry. Okay, so you can understand, you know, or jealousy. But it was very clear that when they put down learning in yeshiva, they were not just talking about the anti-Zionist yeshivot. If you're also talking about a Zionist yeshiva, where the guys do the army, then it wasn't a surprise that so many of the kids came out anti-yeshiva. And instead of saying, well, there are different types of yeshivot, and et cetera, et cetera. And you have to be very careful, ideologically wise, always to stress the positive and don't put down the negative, because kids have a tendency to see things simplistically, black and white. And as soon as you put down somebody because he looks religious or something like that, or because of a religious minhag that he has, kids simplistically say, okay, so that is, it's like there's a French psychologist named Papineau who writes that childhood is about constantly shuffling and reshuffling priorities. And again, if it's black and white, and you put down, they see that you're putting down somebody because of their religious observance, their message is, okay, so I guess religious observance either isn't good or is secondary or tertiary, or and that is why it is so, it's not good to laugh at anyone, but especially, and as he's going to say, realize the ramifications. There are four problematic aspects of laughing at somebody because of religious observance. Hayachad, number one, shu machshich nafsho me'or ha-mitzvot. He himself is becoming a little negative towards mitzvot. Right? And if you, you know, the Mesilat Yesharim, we everyone here, we learned it together, he differentiates, or he puts in the, under the category of leitz, which we translate as clowning around, somebody who is cynical. And as soon as you're cynical about those who live in this neighborhood or that neighborhood or those who learn in this yeshiva and that yeshiva, it has a derogatory, it leaves a derogatory message on you. Now, Bichlal, if you hear your kids talk about this, you know, you should. It's a good opportunity to teach them, you know, you don't talk Lashon Hara. If you have a inyani, an ideological issue, you know, that they don't go to the army or something like that, so that's an ideological issue. But if you're talking about those who learn Torah in a negative fashion, it hurts me. Kishumo'esu mesachek b'mekaymei ha-mitzvot. As if you're laughing or cynical about those who do the mitzvot, az yitganu ha-mitzvot be'inav. I myself suffer because consciously or subconsciously, really mostly subconsciously, I am degrading the mitzvot to a certain extent. And that's not spiritually healthy. Hasheni, the second nezek, the second problem with laughing at people religiously, ki ulai mitoch haschok yimana hatzadik mitzidkotav. If you laugh about this guy, he might start refraining from doing certain mitzvot. And it's because of you. It's your fault. Ki lo yuchal lizbol haschok. In general, people don't like when they're being laughed at. And so that is point number two. Hashlishi, the third person that, or the third aspect, are the people around you. Okay, so again, the first point is that I suffer. The second point is that the person who I'm laughing at, he also suffers. And the third, Hashlishi, are the people around you. Like I said, your children. Ki anashim rabim asher lo nisu lalechet bedarkei Hashem yitbarach lo yuchlu la'asot tshuva mipnei haschok. Now you have to remember, in the time of the Orchot Tzadikim, 600 years ago, all Jews observed Shabbat. All Jews ate kosher. Nevertheless, like always, there are different levels. There are different levels. And somebody who you're putting down religious people or religiosity in their eyes, and it leaves a negative mark. And they end up walking in darkness. Not only do I lose out, not only do the person that I'm laughing at loses out, like Chazal say about Yeravam ben Nevat, that not only did he sin, but to get other peoples to sin, that is that much more serious. And maybe it's worth just mentioning in a nutshell that Rav Kook has an interesting letter about bringing Zionism to the anti-Zionist, to the Haredim. And he says that if you bring new ideas like modernism or Zionism to people who are not ready for complex ideas, they might just chuck it all. They might be so blown away by modernism or by Zionism that they'll turn that into their new religion and they'll turn their backs on where they used to be. Rav Kook says for somebody like that, somebody has like Haredim who are cousins, you know, you have to think twice before you try and mekarev them to bring them closer to Eretz Yisrael, to Aliyah, to serving in the army. Because for some people, they need that insulation. And if they lose their insulation, they'll just lose it all. And that's a big topic today, where, you know, drafting the Haredim into the army, the first thing that the army has to do, it has to make sure that they are ready to have these people with everything that they need. Because if their parents and their rabbis and their brothers think that going to the army is going to make them non-religious, so maybe it is better to a certain extent. You know, obviously it's not, you can't say, is it better to eat Shabbat or keep kosher? You have to do both. But in their situation, it's difficult to say you have to do both. Because like Rav Kook says, if somebody is used to a black and white education, you know, traditional is good, modern is bad, black and white. And then you start talking with them about the advantages and how Judaism believes in a complex message. If he's not ready for the complex message, he's just a... And by the way, in our children also, it's important to identify the complexity of a complex message, right? When we want to educate our children also to first Shabbat and also Kashrut, and also chesed, and also serving in the army, and also Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and also tzniut, and also. Somebody who is broad enough, he can do it all. But somebody who isn't broad enough, at certain point, one thing comes at the expense of something else. And that's, again, when it begins to be problematic. Bekitzur, people are complex. And the Torah message is complex. And as long as we were in Galut, everything was black and white, you know, where, you know, what's Jewish is good, and what's not Jewish is you got to stay away from. Here in Israel, where there are Jewish universities, and the Jewish army, and the Jewish, and it's a lot more complex. And again, you can't be naive. We shouldn't be naive. It's important to point out to our children the different approach. That we once gave a shiur. I don't know if I gave it to the women here, about how do we know that religious Zionism is correct. So it's very clear that it's correct. That's the original Judaism, and that's the unadulterated Judaism. And Galut is what warped Judaism. But you have to point that out, that Torah Eretz Yisrael of Rav Kook is complex. And for some people, especially if they're a little simple-minded, it's easier for them just to keep it black and white, keep things separate. You know, this is good, this is bad, 50-50 or something along those lines. Right? Just don't mix things, and that, you know, that can throw them off. So we're talking about those who... So there are people who hear you being cynical about the religiosity of people, they will take that as a negative message. The Rambam says that somebody who causes others to sin is one of the 24 people who has no share in the world to come. Right, and that's, Chazal say that in Masechet Sanhedrin about Yeravam ben Nevat. Now I imagine most people here would not even think of causing some other people to sin. But here you have an example where the Orchot Tzadikim is giving a practical example. Harvi, the second problem of cynicism, laughing at religious people, shedomelu listim she'omed al parshat rachim. It's like robbers, like pirates, who hide by the junctions, and those who are on their way to the king, people used to bring big bribes to the king, right? In monarchies, it's not illegal to bribe the king, right? As a matter of fact, that's the norm, you know? And that's how he becomes rich, and that's how he gets richer, and that's how his children are rich, and bekitzur, so the pirates who know that people on their way to the king, they are probably carrying a lot of money. And so what they do is they attack them there. Halo ze sono voivo shel melech. So,
can you bring
down
the scripture?
Toda. Yeah, toda. Who is the fourth person who he is hurting? He is hurting as if it were God. Now we know we can't hurt God, but we don't want to be in a category of those who, as if it were, hurts God, right? Kaviyachol. And Virato Rabba Ma'ot. And that also is something very severe.
Why is that mitzvah of pirates?
No, that's the mashal. He said that somebody who is religious, and then you laugh at him for standing along Shmona Esrei or something like that, he is hurting God because he's convincing people not to be so religious. So he's hurting himself, he's hurting the person he's laughing at, he's hurting those who are around, and he's also hurting Hashem, kaviyachol, as if it were. again, you can't really hurt God, but that's not a healthy message, you know, as if it were to hurt God. Okay, now we are going to... it's not very practical for the people sitting here or listening in, so we'll skip to Omnam Shtiyat Hayayin. That also, I don't know how practical it is, but it's good to know. Omnam Shtiyat Hayayin Tov Me'od. It's interesting. One of the first types of laughter or happiness that the Ruchot Tzadikim talks about is wine. And he says he puts it on the good side. Obviously, there are going to be problematic aspects, but he says that wine is very good. Bizman shetishteh al minhag maskilim. When you drink wine properly, like intelligent people do. Kederach she'amar Shlomo, as it says in Proverbs, tnu shechar le'oved v'yayin le'marei nefesh. If you see somebody who's upset, give him a little wine. By the way, this is something that's mentioned in the Gemara. It's actually even in the Shulchan Aruch. We don't have this minhag today. Everybody knows in the Sudat Havra'ah, when a person comes back from the cemetery, you give them something round, right, like bread and hard-boiled eggs, adashim, lentils. They used to bring wine. As a matter of fact, they used to have wine. They used to make seven stops on the way to the graveside, and drink wine each time.
Be shikr by that.
So the idea isn't to be shikr, but the idea is that, you know, a person is obviously very upset, and a little wine can, you know, you don't want him to go overboard. You know, any extremism is not good, as we've said many times, and we don't want anybody to commit suicide. Right? I saw recently there are a lot more people that commit suicide in the modern world than there ever before. It's like, today it's easy. You know, you have a 10-story building. Everywhere you have 10-story buildings. You know, you just go up and you're upset and you jump and zil. You know, you have bridges all over the place. You have guns. You have, you know, that's a problem. They say statistically that a lot more girls try committing suicide, but they usually don't succeed. The boys, they usually don't try it, a lot less try it, but they usually do succeed, or a lot more succeed, because they take more extreme methods. So we don't want anybody really getting upset, we don't want people committing suicide, so wine, something that can help mitmoded. How do you say mitmoded?
Cope.
Cope, that's the word.
Right, but now they'll give you a tranquilizer if you talk.
Yeah, today. Happen right, today you have tranquilizers, nachon? Yishteh v'yishkach reisho. A person should sometimes, if you know, you have a problem and you have difficult coping, so drink a little and you'll forget. V'amalo lo yizkor od. All this is the pasuk in Proverbs. V'od ne'amar al hayayin. And by the way, historically we know, we mentioned this in the past, Jews really never had a big problem with alcoholics. Alcoholism. And growing up near an Irish neighborhood in the Bronx, you see what real alcoholics are like. And I say in Russia, wow, that was like, you just see them walking around the streets. And that was the first time that I saw women get really drunk. I never saw that in America. But Bekitzur, we're not talking about getting drunk. We're talking about, you know, a little wine is a gift from God to help us forget that which we need to forget. By the way, the Torah, there are a lot of footnotes in the Torah, or we call them reading in between the lines. The first person to drink wine was
Noach.
And we see that he overdid it. So that's a very clear message. Don't overdo it. On the other hand, in every Jewish family, you have wine at the beginning of Shabbat, you have a little in the morning, you have a little in Havdalah. Today we have grape juice also. But, just like with everything, we're not like the Muslims who just say no wine. And it's chalal, because Eretz Yisrael is a very fruitful land for grapes. Now the Arabs grow grapes just for eating. And that's why there weren't a lot of grapes. Most of the grape vines were grown by Jews. Because we didn't have a problem with the alcoholics. The Muslims, again, took it to an extreme, and they said, don't touch it. That's not Judaism. Ve'od ne'emar aleyayin. Another thing that's said about wine, ha'misameach Elohim va'anashim. This is the second point. First point is wine can help you not be sad. A second point is it can make you happy. And it's very good for chevra, misameach Elohim va'anashim. People drink a little together. Enosh, wine, makes a person's heart happy. And I saw, interesting, I mentioned last week, obviously there are no coincidences in the world. The word for coincidence is mikre. And the Hasidim point out mikre is rak mehashem. Right? So the sefer that they put out in memory of Asher Sonnenschein, Zichrono Tzadik Livracha, on the topic of happiness, there's a beautiful article there by Rav Professor Brandis. And he's Horvitz's brother-in-law. And he has a beautiful article where, just in short, he says that everything in Judaism is based on, it's like a tree. It's Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba. So in a tree, you have roots, you have the body of the tree, the trunk, and then you have branches and fruit. So the roots, he says, are the basic idea. And there are certain basic ideas in Judaism. Loyalty is a basic idea. Happiness is a basic idea. That's the roots. That's mamash one of the roots of Judaism. When you get to the trunk, to the tree itself, those are the mitzvot, which teach us how to guide our happiness. When v'samachta b'chagecha, on the holidays, Shabbat, you have to be happy. Kuzari says something interesting, that you have to remember, people used to work 7 days a week. And when you're working 7 days a week, you're not a happy camper. You never have time off. And the Kuzari writes that Hashem gave the Jewish people a great gift. Once a week, you have time off. You dress nicely. You eat well. You feel good about yourself. You feel good about your life, your chivra. And the same thing as Shana Rishona. The idea of being with your wife during the first year of marriage. And these are mamash mitzvot that are part of the body of the tree. Now, the body of the tree helps us understand the roots. Because the Torah does not say very often, this is one of the main points of Judaism. Rabbis do, right? But teachers do. Chazal do. But the Torah is not that blatant. And the way you could tell that something is a basic root of Judaism is by looking at the mitzvot. And for example, where's it? Parshat Ki Tavo, no, Netzavim, towards the end of Devarim, where it says, Tachat asher lo avadta Hashem et Hashem Elokecha v'simcha u'betuv levav. Why did Hashem send us to exile? Because we did not serve Hashem happily. Mizmor l'toda, you're supposed to be happy. Breslov did not invent the idea of being happy with Judaism. Now afterwards, once we have the roots and we have the body of the tree, you look at the branches and you see there are a lot of branches which just take for granted something like, it's like a really side point, but you all know that you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. You remember that? Why?
Because it makes you happy.
Because it makes you happy. So in general, you are supposed to be happy. Even in the Mishnah, in the Masechet Megillah, it says, Mishenichnas Av Mima'atim Besimcha. When the month of Av, that's a sad month, comes in, you're supposed to limit your happiness. It doesn't say you're not supposed to be happy at all. Just limit. Because the Breirat Mechdal,
default option.
I remember default. We had that far. The default option is that a Jew is supposed to be happy. Okay? And so again, the more Judaism you learn, the more that Hashem, our Father, He wants His children to be happy. V'ne'emar v'chikech k'yayin atov, mikol ele neda shefach hayayin k'shu k'mishpat achachamim v'ashotim k'shiur. So from all these psukim and these examples, we see that wine and happiness, sorry, that's our topic, happiness, wine is just a medium that can help you become happy. These are very important things. Sheikbara sechel, but again, it's only when you drink the proper amount. You don't exaggerate. Sheikbara sechel ala yayin, v'lo yikbara yayin ala sechel. As long as your mind is ruling the wine, and not that the wine is ruling your mind. And that's usually a good, sometimes yeshiva boys ask, how much do you drink on Purim? And there's a good definition. That you're always conscious of what you're doing, and that you are the one who's running the show. You don't lose your free will. V'ashotim bezmana kavua im oavim v'reim, im chasidim v'tzadikim. Those who drink with the tzadik, right, in chasidut, or l'chaim, right, those who drink with their friends, v'lo im artila im v'reikim. But obviously, don't drink with empty people. Somebody just walks into a bar and drinks with the people there, there's a good chance that he's not going to bring out the best in him. Ki ayayin yosif chokhmat amukim. Wine is something that adds wisdom to those who are deep. Ve'etz hachayim lamachazikim ba. And it is a tree of life for those who hold on to the tree of life. And then what wine does is it amplifies. That's the word I'm looking for. And it's just like music. You know, sometimes people ask during the 9 days, are you allowed to hear music? And they're talking about sad music. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that music is an amplification. That if you hear happy music, it amplifies that happy mood. That's what you're not allowed to do during the 9 days. But if it is sad music or music that leads you to examine life, exile, the Shoah, things like that, obviously that's no problem during the 9 days. The same thing with wine. Wine is an amplification. And that's why I always told the guys in yeshiva when I was an older boy in yeshiva, in my opinion, guys for sure in the first year, probably in the second year, they shouldn't drink on Purim. They drink a little, you know. But to get drunk, nichnas yayin yatsa sod. What is hidden inside, that's what comes out when you get drunk. So somebody who is full of Torah, the wine amplifies that, and it's something.
Well, I don't listen.
It's once a year on Purim. That's what we're talking about. On the other hand, if somebody, and I told my students in the Midrashot, you know, I don't think girls are on any higher level in 1 year than the first year or second year boys. And I think that it's, I know in our daughter in Midrashot Harova, they don't let the girls drink. Because again, if you're not ready for it, it amplifies it negative things. Ve'od hayayin yosif chokhmat hamaskil v'yachpil shtut ha'evil. Again, if you're smart, it amplifies your wisdom. And it actually brings out very creative things. V'yichadesh avat ohev, v'yo'orer evat ha'oyev. And if you hate someone, it gets you to hate them squared. And if you love someone, you get to love them squared. In other words, it's not good or bad like most things in Judaism. It's what you do with it. But it's not good or bad. It is super good or super bad. That's the difference. V'yiftach yad hanadiv, and wine will open up the heart of somebody who is generous. V'chazek lev hakili. But if somebody is a kamtsan, how do you say kamtsan?
Miser.
A miser, then he's just going to be a miser squared when he's drunk. In other words, it just amplifies everything. V'zot midat shotei yayin. Yasim ayayin refuah leda'agato, v'yitchazek betorah lelamda basimcha. Right? You drink a little wine, but the main thing is that it should be used to learn Torah happily. Ki kol zman she'adam sharui betzar lo yuchol le'umod. When a person is upset, he can't learn. He can't daven. He can't really do too much of anything. And I once heard Rav Noach Weinberg from Esh HaTorah. And he says, you know, people ask, somebody's depressed. He said, what should I do? He says, take a ping pong ball and a ping pong racket and just see how many times you can hit the ping pong ball without it falling down. You know, 100, 200, 300. You can't think about depressing things because you missed the ball. Right? You really got to be focused and concentrated. And Hashem gives us a gift that you can play. What's that card game that people play on by themselves?
Solitaire.
Solitaire. Right. You can do that on a computer. You don't even need a deck of cards today, right? And just get your mind off of something that. But the best way is to learn Torah, and that also the wine and happiness help bring out the best Torah in a person. There's a story. It's found in. Ever hear of the book The Making of a Gadol? Mm-hmm. Remember Yoshua Hirschberg?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hirschberg, right? Right. So he had a copy of the book. And the first edition was bought out like that. It was very difficult to get a copy, and everyone was waiting online. And what it is was a book by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, one of the great Gedolei Hador of the previous generation. His son wrote a biography about his father, and about a lot of the Rabbanim of that generation. And certain people in the Haredi community were very upset because it presented these Gedolim as people, as normal people, as human beings. And one of the stories there that I mention a lot is the Chazon Ish. This is testified by his shamas, you know, great rabbis. They have one assistant. How would you say shamas in English?
Sexton is the official word.
Okay. Anyway, but it's like he's not an assistant. He's not an assistant rabbi, but he, you know, helps him.
Sidekick.
Yeah, helps him out. Anyway, Bekitzur, the Chazon Ish was pretty sickly. For a long time, and the doctors told him to go out to the beach. Bnei Brak is very close to the Mediterranean, so as not to go mix swimming or anything. He would, and also, you know, just the scene on the beaches is sort of lightheadedness, and so he used to go early in the morning with his shamas, and while they were swimming, just the two of them, the Chazon Ish started splashing his sidekick. And his sidekick, a young man, he didn't know what he's supposed to do. And he asked, like in the third person, is the Chazon Ish feeling okay? And the Chazon Ish continued splashing him, and he says, somebody who doesn't know how to have a good water fight can't have a good svara in learning Gemara. And that's really what the Rechot Tzadikim is saying here.
All work and no play.
You have to. You can't stay in your box. In your what's the word? You don't stay boxed in. The Torah is not meant. It's meant to be innovative. It's meant to think of new divrei Torah. It's meant to, especially in Gemara, you used to have to be creative and think. You know, this contradicts that. How do you answer? And Bekitzur, so if wine is a good idea to get you to learn better Torah. V'gam beit din hamitzta'arim. By the way, you could tell why some people didn't. You could tell from that story why some people did not like the book. In the second edition, they censored certain parts, but Yoshua Hirschberg has the first edition.
If wine's good for learning Torah, we should bring out less booze.
Sure. I just happen to not like it so much.
By the way, it's interesting. The Rav Moshe Sternbuch, somebody asked him about women getting drunk on Purim, and he mentions, the Mishnah Berurah mentions in the laws of Zimun, that men, lichatchila, especially today in Eretz Yisrael, where wine is very inexpensive, there's no reason. In our house, we make a zimun even during the week, whenever we have three men. But he says, explicitly, everybody we mentioned in the past, most people know that women can also have a zimun. If there are three women, they're also obligated. Smachloket. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says that they're obligated in zimun. On the other extreme, the Aruch HaShulchan says the custom is not to do. Women usually don't do a zimun. And the Mishnah Berurah takes the middle road. He says it's a mitzvah, but it's not an obligation. But everybody agrees that women don't, when they do a zimun, they don't do it on a cup of wine. Mm-hmm. Because the idea of women and wine, like I said, in Russia, it really was, I'd never seen that before. And in England, do women get drunk?
Yeah, the teenagers that go out.
Oh, yeah, teenagers, that's... No, but like adult women...
There's alcoholics everywhere in America.
Yeah. No, but like, do you see them in the streets like the alcoholic men? Okay. Okay. Maybe that's why.
Rav Schwartz,
yeah.
There's a story about a Frum family in communist Russia,
yeah,
where the little girl grew up and she got a job, a government job, and her father said to her, "I have to teach you how to drink vodka."
Ooh,
because every time there's a birthday party or a celebration or anything, so they always bring vodka and then wine for the women. Because, you know, the women drink the easier stuff. But because the wine is not kosher, I have to teach you how to drink vodka. So that's an interesting story.
Interesting. Okay, you learned something new. Okay, we're just going to finish off the paragraph. Gamatsar mevatel reit. Are we on the right page? The closest source is Yeshayahu Memtet. Do you see Yeshayahu Memtet? Yeah, here it is. And again, a little before that. Gam hatzar mevatel kavanat halev batfila. If a person is depressed and upset, he can't daven properly. Right here again, we're talking now about happiness and depression, and not about wine, right? Wine is an emtsa'i, a means to help you get out of depression, to help you get happiness. The main thing is to be happy in order to learn Torah, in order to daven properly. Gam kishe adam sharui betza'ar, mishim daber ilav, o mishim mevakesh mimenu la'asot imo chesed, en lo koach la'asot bakashato. When a person's upset and somebody knocks on his door to ask him a favor, he doesn't have patience. So it doesn't bring out the best in you. Happiness does bring out the best in you. Rav Shlomo Karlbach has a nice story, mashal, that a guy, he has a real enemy, like, you know, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and this enemy comes into his wedding, and he's really happy. He's making the first time, he's marrying off a daughter. And, you know, the father goes around pouring the drinks for everyone. And the father of the bride. And he sees his enemy. And he is so happy, he doesn't care that his enemy is there. He brings him into the circle. He dances with him. You know, as opposed to, that just sharpens the point of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. That even when this guy was making a Sudan, he was happy. He couldn't stand this other. A normal person, when he is happy, he overcomes his hate. And it brings out the best in people. Uchtiv beit ratzon initicha. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu says that when a person is in the right mood here, again, the Orchot Tzadikim is explaining, in a happy mood, that is when we answer people. That also is when Hashem answers us. Yivdu et Hashem b'simcha. You're supposed to daven and pray happily. Yeah, we ask for our needs, but before that is Shevach, praising Hashem. Afterwards is Hodaya, thanking Hashem. Lachin al derech ze yichavena maskil lishtot yayin. And here, this is the practical hadracha, the practical teaching. The middle of the road. V'yizaher shelo yarbe b'shtiyah sheyitzterech levatel melachto v'asakav. Don't drink so much that you can't go to work, that you start falling asleep. Right? That's not good. Some people, you have to remember, in Europe, people used to drink wine like water. water wasn't clean. The water wasn't healthy in a lot of places, and that's why they used to drink wine. And then after you eat lunch with wine, people used to fall asleep. And so what, you're just going to work a half a day? You know, that's not good. So, you know, keep it in moderation. And again, make sure that you don't drink too much so that you can't daven and you can't learn properly. By the way, I think my strongest tefillah of the year is not necessarily in the Ilan Yom Kippur. It's usually Mariv after Purim. Because again, it amplifies a certain feeling. And if you drink too much, you're not allowed to daven. It says that if you can't stand in front of a king, if a king would come in and you're still clowning around and you don't, you know, stand at attention, so that's too much. Rav Kook actually has an interesting tshuva. He says, mincha, you shouldn't drink before mincha. But mariv, what a person drinks during his Sudat Purim, that's hosek b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. So when Mariv comes around, he's actually exempt from that. So it is okay to drink before davening Mariv. Oh, ad sheyar beschok v'kalut rosh, don't become lightheaded, don't become giddy. V'lo yishteh ad sheyigaleh sodotav, and don't drink so much that you start revealing your secrets. O sodot shel acherim, or revealing other people's secrets, right? Obviously, that's not good. V'im tishteh b'midah hazot, and if a person drinks the proper amount. If you write Herot on the side, you should understand that here he's talking about Hazot. It is not what he just spoke about in the previous sentence, because that could throw you off. If a person drinks the proper amount, lo yelecha hayayin lezara, then wine is not something negative. It could even be positive. Gam b'moadim u'bagalim, especially on festivals, Yom Tov, v'samachta b'chagecha, shakti b'hem v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And even on holidays, don't drink so much that you fall asleep for 2 hours and you miss the rest of Yom Tov, right? Right, you're not supposed to serve Hashem not happily. And as a matter of fact, Hashem gets upset when you serve Hashem glumly. A person is supposed to be happy. Remember, there's a guy in a yeshiva that I was at once that... is on Purim. You think on Purim, you know, everyone's really happy, that's a mitzvah, and especially in yeshiva. This guy was still glum. So I went up to him and I said, as my father used to say, why so glum, chum? And he still wasn't happy. He didn't laugh, he didn't smile. Anyway, I didn't figure he had something to do, you know, because of it's Purim. So I came up behind him and I tickled him under his armpits, and that's when he started laughing. And that's the way you're supposed to serve Hashem happily. The Rabbi Nachman Mibreslev did not invent this idea; he amplified it. And don't drink so much that you forget God, who created everything and who created wine to be used in the right. That's the word I'm looking for. In the right percentage.
Quantity.
In the right quantity, proportion. Right, that's the word I'm looking for. Ve'ef shar la'avod Hashem yitbarach lo mitoch kalut rosh. You can't serve Hashem lightheadedness, ve'lo mitoch schok, and not through giddiness, ve'lo mitoch shichrut, and not through drunkenness. So you tell me afterwards if we should have skipped this one, because I don't think this crowd to drink so much, but maybe for your kids on Purim or something. Okay.